Welcome to Generation Radio Podcast, where the focus is on Arkapuna and their families. We are here each Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. You can listen to these shows at any time, any place, and even on your smartphone at generations808.com. We will bring to you resourceful information from our Generations team of experts in the field of aging. Stay with us for the next 1 hour as we explore ways to make your life more exciting and meaningful for our extraordinary seniors. Here's your host and publisher of Generations Magazine, Percy Ihara.
Thank you for joining us. This is Percy Ihara. I'm the publisher and editor of Generations Magazine. And welcome to the Generations Radio Show. And if you're younger than 50, you probably want to call it a podcast. I love to joke around with kids, you know, Bob, because, you know, they don't understand their parents sometimes. Like, I have a young son. I have my son at 44. I just took him to college in Boston in August. And they think so differently, you know. And I have a lot of nieces and nephews. They think so differently, and I can't blame them, you know. And if you know, but you're young too, but you know, they started all these issues with youngies like the Gen Z and all those. What do you call it?
Your Gen Zers, your millennials,
How they grew up, and it was all because of the baby boomers' fault. Did you know about that?
Well, and part of it is that so much of that instant gratification, and they can immediately, you Google something, you don't have to go to an encyclopedia and look it up or wait for it. Everything is immediate there at the fingertips.
You know what was the main thing that started it? You played sports, right?
I did.
And when you're growing up, I don't know about you, but even like here when my son was playing sports, you know, you got a trophy whether you won or lost.
Participation trophy, yeah, instead of actually earning it.
Just that's instant gratification. It's like, I can just show up and get a trophy. So that's where the employees go. They get up there and go, what? I don't get a break? I've been working for an hour now. Did you see the millennial? You should Google the millennial interview. Have you heard about that?
I have. And it's actually interesting because we're seeing even learning styles changing for students where they want to have small micro learnings and they want it segments that are going to be 10 and 15 minutes instead of having to look at a more broader scale. It's really interesting.
So this voice you're hearing, you probably want to keep her in mind, and Google her later on. Melissa, how you Milanak?
It's Milanic.
Milanic. Okay. And I know I like to tell my guests, you explain who you are and what you do. Because I can read something, but I want you to tell who you are and what you do.
Sure. So Dr. Melissa Milanic, I'm a licensed clinical psychologist. I currently reside in Charleston, South Carolina. So I'm faculty at the medical university there. And I started my career in the world of trauma and PTSD and working around the world with many different stressful life events and traumas. And really one of the things that we saw that was impacted so much are people's ability to sleep. And so as I was building through my career, I did my undergraduate at Bucknell University in Pennsylvania, did my PhD, my master's, my work there at the University of Illinois, Champaign-Urbana, and then came to Charleston, South Carolina, and have been there for almost 13 years.
So I actually, when I first met, and I actually met Melissa Wednesday, and I was telling George while we're waiting for you coming in today that Halloween was Tuesday.
Yes.
My cat ran away Tuesday morning. I could not find him, and I was stressed out a little bit. I went to a Halloween party, came back. He still didn't come back. I knew he must have went out of my dog's doggy door. And I couldn't sleep that night. I got literally 2 hours of sleep when I went to your function Wednesday.
I remember you sharing that.
And my cat finally came back, but I had a stiff neck because I was sleeping on the couch waiting for him to come back. And I just had an inkling. He's got to be near here someplace. Sure enough, we have a few cats up on top of the lane, and they're bigger cats. And he's a one-year-old cute little cat. And I knew he might be hurt by them. So he finally cried out. When I went outside to our neighbor's house, he was in the back, and a big cat was in the front. So I know he's crying away, Dad, come help me out here. And he finally came back. But yeah, when I went to your event, like, wow, my neck was sore. I was sleeping in the back. I was listening to you. I closed my eyes a few times, but I met Melissa there, and you're brought in by Amundi Asset Management.
Correct.
And Michael Yee from Ameriprise. And it was a great time. That little restaurant there in Manoa at the Waioli Bake Shop, we used to call it the Waioli Tea Room, beautiful place.
Absolutely beautiful, and the food was fantastic as well.
And you know, in the back, there's in the back in the valley, if you go further back in the valley on the left, there's actually a bird sanctuary back there. It's kind of been dormant for many years. And guess who lived there for a few months?
Who lived there?
Bruno Mars.
Really? Well, I heard that his uncle plays music at the Moana Surf Rider.
Yes, Little Johnny. He's actually very good.
Johnny Valentine, correct?
Yes, very good. Hey, you're pretty good. But he was homeless.
Past musician.
You're a musician? You're a singer. I told you, I want to go karaoke. Maybe go tonight. I'm going to be in Waikiki right tonight.
We can chat about that.
Yeah. She was, can I just say that? Okay, we won't say it. She was on American Idol, guys. Okay, anyway, we're talking about sleep disorder. And so when it comes to seniors specifically, my wife snores a little bit, and she knows that, and I sleep on a couch once in a while. But when it comes to seniors, how different is sleep compared to somebody that's 30 years or 40 years old?
There's so much that changes in our sleep across the course of our lives. And what we find is that as we get older, part of it is when we feel tired. Our circadian rhythm, our scheduling. So
Hold on. What kind of rhythm?
So you have your circadian rhythm.
Okay, and I've never heard that term before.
Oh, so circadian rhythm is basically going to be the process within our bodies that's going to govern when we feel tired, when we feel awake, when we feel hungry. It's going to be a process that exists in our bodies that is going to be regulated, and many times light plays a role in that. So when it's light out, it says it's time to be awake. When it's dark out, it says it's time to be asleep. And it governs all different pieces of when our body is producing certain chemicals and how we're awake and how we're asleep. What we find is that as we age, that gets disrupted in a number of different ways. So the part of the brain that tells us to feel tired and to feel awake, we see some deterioration. We're going to see that we are not going to get as restful and restorative sleep. So it may take us longer to heal. We also find that we get tired earlier. And there's a lot of that that was from a survival standpoint. Because we wanted those that were more vulnerable, the younger and the older, to be asleep when those that could protect them were awake. So there's lots of changes that happen when we get tired, how we get tired, and how our body can repair itself.
Interesting. So does a bed make a difference in how well you sleep? Like, you know, before my parents passed away, I think I told you my parents passed away last year. I talked to them many times on the show, but they eventually got one of those beds where you can sleep on one side, the same big bed, and it's two beds put together, and you can move up and down. And my parents loved that bed. I was just kind of shocked how expensive they are.
It's incredibly expensive, but you're figuring you're spending about a third of your life in your bed. So yeah. It's a good investment to make.
Absolutely. I'm going to get one myself.
And many times when we talk about our sleep and we're thinking about that, is that you know that you want your bedroom environment. There's four components. You want it to be cold enough that you need a cover. You want it to be dark because we know that light can disrupt our sleep. We want it to be quiet, and we can talk about that. And we want it to be comfortable. Now, comfortable can mean different things to different people.
Right.
So as you're talking about the bed, sometimes it's going to be a firmer bed that gives more support for the back and for the neck. Sometimes it's going to be a softer bed. Certain pain points for individuals, we know that as we age, we experience more chronic pain, which can disrupt our sleep much more frequently. And the positioning. So if somebody is snoring, for instance, you'll see some of the beds that raise the back up a bit to try to help with breathing.
Is that better for people that snore a little bit?
It can be. Think about if you were sick and they used to prop you up on a few pillows to try to help the airway and such. And it's the same thing where, depending on the position that we're in, when we're laying, especially sleeping on our back, that can really cause some disruption in our ability to fully breathe and to get oxygen when we're sleeping. And so, especially for people with sleep apnea.
I don't think my wife has sleep apnea, but definitely a little bit of a concern. But you had some about raising. Does raising your feet help?
So when you talk about raising the feet, sometimes it can play a role in circulation. You'll hear people talk about zero gravity beds. And so with some of that positioning, what that can do is also take pressure off certain parts of the body. Because what we find is for a lot of individuals, when they're experiencing pain, if we shift where the pressure points are, then that means that it's not constant pressure and it can give some relief to certain areas. So that's where with a lot of the beds, if you're raising your feet, if you're raising the back, it can help. And we know that pain is going to be something that we're going to see even more for our seniors.
Absolutely. You know, I'm 63 now. It's hard to believe. I started in this business 42 years old. And I studied aging I'm still studying. I will continue to study aging, and I get stuff sent to me all the time. I have a lot of old, I grew up playing sports as well. I have a lot of old injuries coming back. And for a lot of people that didn't play sports, if they're not healthy, sleep is huge. But so I liked your presentation when you started the other day about the different stages of sleep.
Sure.
And then I've done some study on sleep, but I didn't know it was like 5 cycles.
So
4 cycles.
What happens is when you're sleeping, you go through different stages of sleep and different cycles of sleep. And so typically you start with stage 1. That's where you're falling asleep and your senses are shutting down. Your body's preparing for sleep. If you wake up during that stage, you won't even realize you were asleep. Stage 2 is a transition stage. You're going to use that to go back and forth between your body and the mind repairing itself.
Okay.
Then we get to stage 3. That's deep sleep. That's where our body is physically repairing itself. And we see that there's a prioritization for the physical body to be repaired first, because from a survival standpoint, we need our bodies to be healthy enough to protect ourselves, to avoid threats and to fight off threats. One cycle usually lasts about 1.5 to 2 hours. Mm. And after we get through a cycle, now, because we don't have to fall asleep again, we're going to see the first instance of REM sleep. Rapid eye movement sleep. That's where our mind repairs.
I was trying to think of what I knew. I've heard REM so many times. I couldn't remember what REM stood for. And I couldn't believe it's so basic.
Rapid eye movement. And the reason that is you'll find that when somebody is sleeping and they're in REM sleep, their physical body goes into a paralysis. Uh-huh. So the muscles aren't moving as much. But we see that the eyes are moving while this process is happening. And the brain is taking everything that you did during the day, and it is transcribing it. It's etching it in so that we can retrieve it later in life, days, weeks, months, years later.
Really?
So your memory consolidation, that's also during REM sleep when we see, so we talk about the cerebral spinal fluid, all the fluids in the body, where it literally washes the brain to get rid of built up toxins and plaque. So that's why REM sleep is really important to help to reduce risk for Alzheimer's, for dementia, and all those pieces. And so what we see throughout the course of the night is we go back and forth between our body repairing itself in deep sleep, stage 3 sleep, our mind repairing itself in REM sleep. And so as we go through those cycles, the average person has about 4 to 5 throughout the course of the night.
Hmm.
And so if you cycle through those faster, that's where you need less sleep. If you cycle through them slower, you need more. And that's what we talked about. So not every person needs the same amount of sleep, but we find that as we age, we spend less time in that deep sleep. That's why it takes us longer to heal. That's why we feel like we need more sleep and we feel tired.
And is it because when you get older, you think there's more stress?
Well, there's stress at all different times through life. But what we find is that it's a different type of stress.
Mm-hmm.
So
sure.
For many individuals, as they're aging, as we're getting into potential isolation, we're losing lots of our close friends and loved ones. We're potential fear of loss of independence. And that then triggers anxiety. And we know that anxiety can then make it much more difficult to sleep. Our body is tense. Our brain isn't stopping. So there are lots of things that we want to do to help to relieve that type of anxiety, which may be a different stress than worrying about your kids or those types of things. Although as a parent, you never stop worrying about your kids.
No. I was telling my friend the other day that I never treated my son as a little kid. I always treated him as an adult. I talked to him like he's an adult, even at 5, 6, 7 years old, even though he wasn't aware of it. It's like today I talk to him like a normal person.
Yeah.
I talk to him once, twice a week. But it's just something that I think I try to get 7-8 hours of sleep every day.
Mm-hmm.
I try to take a nap every day. Seriously.
Now, we talked about naps.
Yeah, but my naps are not more than 20 minutes.
So as we talked about before, and I do want to share this because we see that especially is for the individuals listening, as we get older, we tend to see people taking more naps. And so in general, like we said, your mom would say, don't eat a snack, you'll ruin your dinner. We talk about not taking naps to ruin your sleep because it's so important that we can have enough sleepiness built up throughout the day to sleep straight through the night. And that's something that we see happening for older adults is that because either it could be boredom, it could be mental fatigue, lots of reasons where they're taking naps during the day. And yes, a short power nap, 20 to 30 minutes can give that quick boost to the system. But if you're napping at the same time every day, your body is going to learn that that's when it gets rest. And so it's going to make you actually feel tired at that time during the day instead of wanting to save up our sleepiness at night. And that's one of the biggest things that we see is when somebody hits retirement, they don't have a set schedule, so they don't have to be sleeping at certain times, and their body doesn't know when to feel tired anymore.
Hmm.
If you don't go to bed at the same time every night, your body doesn't have that trigger to know when to sleep. And if you're waking up at different times, then it's harder for your body to make sure that it's in the right stage of sleep that you wake up and feel more alert. So it's not that naps are terrible, but we see that the frequency of naps increase as we age, And that because so many people are napping during the day, that makes it harder for them to sleep through the night. And then they get more frustrated, and then they're awake when everyone else is asleep.
So you're trying to tell me that I should take naps at a different time of day?
Ideally, you wouldn't be taking a nap every day.
You're not supposed to take a nap every day?
No.
Okay, I don't take a nap every day, but I try to. Some weeks I do every day. It's because my work is I try to get up like being 5 and 6 o'clock every day, mm-hmm. sometimes earlier. I like to start my day at 6 o'clock, and I'm done by 12, 1 o'clock. That's mm-hmm. my day. So some days I'm brain dead by 11 because I'm flipping back my mortgage business and a magazine or my son or my wife or friends I'm counseling. Mm-hmm. So some days I take a nap earlier. But the goal is, I won't make it a goal to take a nap every day. Because actually usually weekend I don't take a nap that often because I'm always doing something. We're doing something. But it's interesting. Okay.
Now, there's a difference to then being able to let your brain rest, though. Because I think one of the biggest things that happens is we confuse the difference between being fatigued and being sleepy. So sleepy is the physical exhaustion and your body needs sleep. Fatigue, instead, is that our brain is exhausted and needs the rest. And so doing other things to give your brain the break. And that's something that we can also see, that we want to make sure that we're giving our brain that decompression time so we can rest without having to sleep and deplete our ability to sleep through the night.
Okay. Don't forget, guys. This show will be on our website, generation808.com, which Melissa gave us a lot of good information. So I wrote down some notes. I know you sent me a PowerPoint, but I made some notes of myself because I'm a senior, and you talk about all kinds of sleep issues, but I'm talking about specifically what happens to more seniors. Okay.
Okay.
First of all, insomnia.
Yes.
Why do people get it, and how do you cure that or solutions for that?
Well, so insomnia can look different for different people. For some people, it's difficulty falling asleep. So you may crawl in bed and you can't shut your brain off, or it takes a really long time to fall asleep. For other people, it could be that you're waking up multiple times throughout the night and you're not able to get back to bed, or you're waking up earlier than desired. So you may wake up at 3 in the morning, but you're trying to sleep till 6 or 7. And we see fatigue and daytime sleepiness throughout the day. So one of the biggest things, and I know we talked about the other day, sleep myths, is that for a lot of people, what they think they're doing to make their sleep better actually makes their sleep worse. So for instance, if you, for instance, didn't get a good night's sleep the other night because of your cat, you shouldn't go to bed earlier the next night to try to catch up on sleep.
I always tell my wife, you can't ever catch up sleep.
It takes 4 days to make up for 1 hour of lost sleep. Wow. In general, according to the research.
Okay, guys, write that down. I always tell people that. They don't sleep a lot. They don't sleep all on a weekend. No, you can't do that.
It doesn't. And the thing is that our bodies, the way that it processes sleep, think of it from a hunger standpoint. If you skipped dinner on Friday night and then you ate 2 dinners on Saturday, you may be more hungry, but your body can't process all of those calories at once.
Yeah.
You're either going to get sick or you're going to gain weight. And it's the same thing with sleep, where when we're not sleeping enough, we may build up more sleepiness, but it doesn't mean that our body can process all of that sleep at once and that it's useful, restorative, healing sleep. And so that's where, from an insomnia standpoint, one of the best things we can do is have a consistent bedtime and wake time 7 days a week. We talked before, you wouldn't eat healthy during the week and have all snacks and fast food on the weekends and say that you were eating completely healthy all the time. Although a few malasadas are okay. They're my new favorite.
Oh, did you try the poi malasadas?
I've tried a few of Leonard's, and I'll leave it at that.
No.
No.
That's not poi malasadas.
No, tell me more.
You know what poi is, right?
Yes.
At Hawaiian Bakery, if you get on the way back to the airport when you leave, well, I can pick you up some up. I'll drop some. I'm going to be Waikiki. Poi malasadas are way better.
Okay. Now,
Leonard's is great. But poi malasadas, okay. You take that to a party, it'll be the first thing gone. I can almost guarantee that. Right, George? Right, engineer here? Yes.
All right. I am open to the challenge.
And
I like
healthier.
That.
Well, I couldn't say healthy, but it's made out of poi.
So that always makes it better.
Oh, let me just tell you. Anything.
But anyway, so yeah. So we see a lot of people that are doing things to try to make their sleep better that make it worse. So you want to have a consistent sleep schedule. That's going to be really important. And we actually want to not stretch the amount of time that we're spending in bed. What a lot of people do is they say, oh, well, I'm not sleeping well, so I need to spend more time in bed to try to get our sleep. And it's actually the reverse. When we're we need 6 hours of sleep and we're building up 6 hours of sleepiness, but we're trying to stretch it into a 10-hour window, then we end up having more awakenings and having more difficulty falling asleep. It's better to restrict the window. So if you're getting 6 hours of sleep right now, you should actually only spend 6 hours in bed attempting to get that sleep. Mm-hmm. Stretching that window out further can actually make your sleep worse. Now, if you have untreated sleep apnea, it's going to be a different story because we want the body to wake you up because it's purposely waking you up when you stop breathing so that you start breathing again. But for the typical sleeper and the aging sleeper, what we find happening is that they're spending more and more time in bed because they are in pain or there's nothing else to do. And then stretching that time in bed will actually contribute more to insomnia.
Okay. A lot of seniors can't sleep good for whatever reasons, whether the kids or the grandkids, or they have bed pains or not a good bed, or they drink too much alcohol, whatever the reason. What are some of the tips to be able to fall asleep healthy?
So a number of things that we see happening, especially for us as we're aging. We talked about from a pain standpoint. So if somebody's experiencing pain, many times we would recommend them engaging in something called PMR, progressive muscle relaxation, where we're overly tightening and releasing the muscles head to toe. It's a nice relaxation process that helps to focus the mind, helps to focus the body, relieves some of the pain so the pain is less likely to wake them up. We see another reason that we can find that they're waking up more frequently is going to be their bladders are waking them up. So we want to be cautious of how many fluids we're taking in before bedtime and when we're waking up in the middle of the night. I know we talked about the fact of do not feed the sleep. And so that's going to be part of the fact that we want to make sure that we're not eating and drinking a lot when we wake up in the middle of the night, because then our body learns that that's when it gets nutrition and hydration. And from the process of falling asleep, we want to be creating a decompression process that we call things called sleep triggers, doing a few things as we're getting ready for bed that help the brain to know that its job now is to fall asleep, such as the writing exercise we talked about. Do you want me to share about shutting your brain off?
That's interesting. I put it, I don't write anymore. I put everything on my phone. I just made a note by Melissa Poymanosov before she leaves. But I make notes on my phone. And you the one who told me don't write? I mean, write, not technology. I have terrible handwriting, first of all. When I write notes, sometimes I can't even read it. Seriously. So I put everything on my phone. So before I go sleep, I check my phone. Okay, what I got to do? What did I didn't do today? I move it next week, whatever. And what am I have tomorrow? Like you said, I do it. That's how I do it. But yeah, let's talk about that.
So there's two parts there. There's the technology piece and there's the shutting your brain off piece. So we'll start with the shutting your brain off and then we can come back to the technology. Yeah. But what happens is our brains are designed to process information, good things, as well as stress and worries. And for many of us, we're so busy throughout the day that we aren't giving our brain the time to process. So when we crawl into bed and when it's time to sleep, it's exactly as you said. We do a review of the day. We're planning for the next day. And it's the first time we've been truly alone with our thoughts all day. So what we want to do is we want to teach the brain that when we're in bed, that's not the time to worry and to process. So about 10 to 15 minutes, say 15 to 20 minutes before bed, we'd have you take a notepad and a pen, not your technology, and we'll talk about why in a minute.
Okay.
And on the right-hand side of the page, you want to write your to-do list for the next day. So you're going to say, I have to, you know, if you're going to go to the bank or you have to make a phone call or you want to make sure that you're tuning in, you don't want to forget to tune into your radio session here. And so as they're writing these to-dos down, then when you put that on your nightstand and get in bed, your brain's no longer trying to keep you awake to remember it because it's already there. And then on the other side of the page, you usually will say set a timer for about 5 minutes. We want people to just get in the process of writing longer, and you're going to write everything that is running through your mind. All the things that we've been trying to avoid, all of the things that we're distracting our brain with TV and other things that we don't want to think about, your brain needs to process that. So when you take that notepad and pen and you free write, it doesn't have to be perfect. You don't have to go back and read it later. It can be bullet points. But the point is to do a download. So you're taking it out. Just like you free up space on your computer or your phone, you want to free up that space in your brain. When you write it down, you will feel exhausted at the end. And you put it on the nightstand, and then you get into bed. And if your mind is still processing and planning, you get out of bed and you write more, and then you go back in bed. Just like you take that puppy and you keep putting it outside to potty outside and you're teaching it doesn't get to go in the house. You're teaching your brain
I like that
it doesn't get to worry in bed. So now You're more effective and efficient because you know what you need to do the next day before you've had your coffee. And you're able to download it, but it's right there. So you don't have to constantly be holding on to it, and your body can fully relax and let you sleep.
Fantastic. We're going to take a short break. We're going to be back with Melissa Milanek about sleep disorder and tips to sleep better. Because I know none of you get 8 hours of sleep a day. And my friend, I introduced you the other day. He doesn't sleep 4 or 5 hours. I said, that's not good, but he actually does pretty well. But anyway, we're going to take a short break. We're here with Generations Radio. I am Percy Ihara, your host. We'll be back shortly.
Call Financial Benefits Insurance's local Hawaii agents for your Medicare needs. Navigating Medicare is a difficult task.
There are a lot of variables. You can't make a decision without knowing your medical and financial needs. Plus, working with a local Hawaii representative, you'll know what Hawaii programs are available for you.
It is free to talk with us and use a local Hawaii agent. Financial Benefits Insurance. Medicare is our business. Service sets us apart.
Percy Ihara. Many of you know him as the publisher of Generations Magazine and one of Hawaii's biggest senior advocates. For those of you that don't know, he's been in the mortgage business since 1988 and at the age of 42 got into the reverse mortgage business. He learned early on as a reverse mortgage professional that he needed to understand his clients' needs as they aged. He is now 63 years of age, and if you're like him, he is planning his own life down the road when he will retire and how will his quality of life be. He is planning his finances, and as a professional that is also aging, he is planning for his own long-term care needs and to age in place. As a trained certified senior advisor and as a specialist in long-term care planning, he specializes in assisting seniors and their families to age in place for the rest of their lives. If you would like to begin the conversation, give him a call and let's sit down and start planning. He's Percy Ihara. Call him at 808-234-3117, NMLS 582-944.
Welcome back to Generations Radio. And don't forget, our November-December issue is on the stands today featuring retired UH coach, basketball coach Vince Gu and national champion coach, volleyball, Mr. Dave Shoji. He won it in the 80s.
Wow.
I think he won 2 or 3 NCAA championships with a Hawaii team.
Oh, that's
actually
fantastic.
Yeah, he's great. He golfs like, he walks this famous course over here. It's hilly. He had to be a billy goat to walk the course. He walks the course twice a week.
Keeps him healthy, that exercise.
He's 70-something years old. I can't remember how old he is. And so, guys, check it out. They're going to fly off the stand where every other month. But I can guarantee you this one will be gone by the end of November. So if you're looking in December, you won't find it. I mean, that's how popular these guys are. And they're great guys.
I can't wait to read it.
Oh, I love doing this magazine because there's been people that I wanted to meet personally. And I know they're older, so I just call them up. Hey, we want to do a story on you. Like we did Dr. Shintani. I wanted to meet him. He's a Harvard-trained doctor, a nutritionist, and he went to law school. But after a few years, he didn't like law, so he became a nutritionist. He went to Harvard, and he did a national diet back in the 80s, early 90s. It was on the national news, and he taught people how to be healthier and lose weight. We had our UH baseball coach. I'm a baseball guy. I wanted to meet him. And we put him on a cover of the story. And then he had to use my own softball bat to hold it, to stand up. He had a stroke. And he said he could stand. He couldn't stand up. So I had to go get my softball bat. So we have a picture of him holding my bat, standing up.
Oh, but that's fantastic.
Anyway, when I met you, Melissa, it was fantastic. And, you know, I've always wanted to do two topics. I'm going to do them. One was on sex after 60. And I actually met a girl this morning that does a sex therapist.
There you go.
Yeah. And sleep. And Melissa came to my... Just happened to, when I heard about her sleep workshop, like, wow, my wife couldn't attend. She's got back from a long trip, so she had to work. But sleep with seniors specifically is something. But before I go on, guys, she does, what was it called, Wednesday?
So it's called Wellbeing Wednesday. It comes out every Wednesday on all different forms of social media and my website. It's usually a 2 to 3 minute quick, as we were talking about, short, a quick video blog on different tips on sleeping better, stressing less, sometimes talking about leadership and workplace, all different areas, but typically sleep and stress.
So they Google What was it called?
So you can go to my website.
Okay, your website.
Which is Mind Impact Consulting.
Mind,
M-I-N-D.
ImpactConsulting.com.
And you can go on, you'll see Wellbeing Wednesday, and there's a different one there every week. Additionally, it's on all different forms of social media. So you have it on LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and they can connect with me to get many free resources about how to sleep better and stress less.
But you do also counsel people or coach people.
Yes.
On sleep.
Yes. So at the hospital back in Charleston, I do therapy and work with patients for sleep and trauma. And then I do sleep coaching around the world. So I help individuals to be able to find their right sleep schedules and to sleep better for many different reasons, because people have all different types of sleep disorders.
I'm sure.
Sometimes I'm working with professional athletes. Sometimes I'm working with military. Sometimes I'm working with individuals that have now sought retirement, and it's what's the next stage for their life. And so everything across the span, you're able to help people to sleep better and then improve their health and their quality of life.
Yeah, that's so important. In fact, somebody had brought up this person has a sleep paralysis. What is that?
So when we dream, our body goes into a paralysis so that we don't act out our dreams. So if you've ever seen,
what do you mean by that?
So think about, if you've seen the dog and it looks like it's chasing the squirrel when it's sleeping.
Well, my dog shakes every day.
He
was a rescue dog, so he has nightmares every day.
And so for humans, we don't want to physically act out our dreams. You don't want to accidentally injure your bed partner or throw yourself out of bed. And so your body will become paralyzed when you're asleep, when you're dreaming, so that your brain is processing the information, but your physical body isn't acting it out. Now, that paralysis isn't that your muscles get tight and tense. It's that they actually lose all muscle tone. So if you've ever picked up, say, for instance, a 4-year-old and they feel like they're really floppy and they're mm-hmm. sleeping, it's because there's no, right, that point where their muscles have no tone in them. Now, what happens in sleep, and that sleep paralysis is a condition where somebody will, their brain wakes up, but their physical body hasn't caught up with them yet. And so you wake up, and because when we're dreaming, our brain waves are very similar to when we're awake, that's why it's really easy to wake out of a dream and feel really alert. Some people don't even realize, are they awake? What's happening? So when somebody experiences sleep paralysis, the brain woke up and they're awake, but the physical body hasn't come out of the paralysis yet. And we see a lot of individuals experiencing that. We can see that stress can sometimes bring that on more. It can cause it to happen more often. We also will see that for individuals, as they get older, their body actually doesn't go into that paralysis as easily. And so we see for our older adults, many times they experience something called REM behavior disorder, which is the opposite, where they don't go into the paralysis and they may be more likely to have some movements when they're sleeping and when they're dreaming. The sleep paralysis piece and the part of the body becoming paralyzed actually also contributes to individuals that are experiencing sleep apnea. That's why we see more sleep apnea during REM sleep when people are dreaming, because the muscles are no longer tight and tense and toned. They're collapsing. So you can see how that can put more pressure on the airway and then restrict people from getting oxygen. So that's why a lot of people that have sleep apnea and don't have it treated, they don't dream as much, they don't experience as much REM sleep, and they wake up more frequently every time the body would be hitting REM sleep. So there's different versions of how that sleep paralysis can be helpful or hurtful, depending.
Hmm. So you're trying to say that people that have sleep apnea don't have dreams?
Well,
or as many?
What happens is, because we see the episodes of sleep apnea occurring more frequently during REM sleep, we'll see that individuals with sleep apnea many times are having a lower percentage of time that they spend in that stage of sleep, which is why we can see disruptions with memory, attention, focus, and concentration. And when somebody then starts to have it treated, and we can talk about whether it's a CPAP machine or a mouth guard, a dental appliance, different things, that even new technology like the Inspire technology, that when they start breathing more consistently when they're sleeping, now their brain can spend more time in REM sleep, and all of a sudden they'll say that they feel more alert, less foggy, their memory is back in a better place.
Mm. How about dreams? Are dreams a normal process or part of sleeping?
Oh, 100%. So dreams in general, how they work is that your brain is going to take what you did during the day, and it's going to want to process it to get you to a place where it's going to be in longer term memory. Mm-hmm. And so from a science standpoint, as your brain is replaying what's happening and etching it out, we will have the dreams. Sometimes we may have certain emotions that trigger certain feelings. So if somebody has something they're stressed about, they may dream about it in a different context, but it's the same underlying emotion or memory. And so that's part of our brain processing that information.
But is a dream something that actually happened in our life?
There are lots of theories about dreams.
Oh, okay.
You're and so expert. Some people have, well, I, so you have some folks that literally spend their whole career working on dream interpretation and what are the meaning behind it. And you have some folks that feel from a cultural or religious perspective that there are certain messages coming to them or they're being spoken to or there's other specific reasons for it. And so there's all different theories behind what dreams represent and what they mean. But from a science standpoint specifically, we know that many times it's that as our brain is processing and replaying and converting things from short-term to long-term memory, that that's going to be that processing that's occurring. We know that for individuals that experience, for instance, things like nightmares, when they've experienced stressful life events, there's actually treatments where you can change the content of the dream. You can do certain rescripting and writing. And
can you change the outcome?
You can.
Really?
In your dream. And so you actually will process, you'll process through that and you'll read it a few times if you tend to have a recurring dream where there's an actual process where you can go through and you can write and change the ending and you read that and you think about it before you go to sleep. And then when you have that dream, you'll see that the ending sometimes will change or certain things in it will change because we're retraining our brain to, so there's lots of really, that's a whole other episode that we could do.
No, the reason why I say that, I have a recurring dream. I used to work in a restaurant business. I worked in restaurant, all kind of restaurants from the 70s to the 80s.
Okay.
And I get the same dream quite a bit. I would say a few times a year, but it's always the same. I'm in a very busy restaurant and I'm the only waiter. And everybody's asking all this stuff. What about that? Like my head's like, what? I need to change the outcome. Okay, we got three more guys coming in and work pretty soon, so I'll solve the problem. And then we get, this is probably a famous dream too, a dream of people chasing you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
So the thing is, you see this a lot where there, and sometimes it may be the same recurring dream, but there are things that are the underlying themes behind it. So, for instance, is it feeling unprepared or is it being concerned that you're going to be found out for something or is it anxiety about failure or some of those other pieces where it may be represented by different things in the dream, but it's the same underlying content or underlying theme, if that makes sense?
Yeah, I get it. I when I worked in restaurant business, I was always busy.
Mm-hmm.
I worked at a very famous restaurant called Little George's Guys. Remember in the 70s, 80s, my cousin George was... And I worked there for 5 years, and I went on to another famous restaurant called the Third Floor Restaurant, a very nice fine dining, one of the best fine dining restaurants in the state back in the 70s, 80s, and 90s.
Nice.
Back to sleep disorders. How does medications affect sleep issues?
So medications, that's a very broad
thing. For seniors specifically.
Correct. Well, what we know is that for some seniors, we find that a lot of seniors are taking many medications.
Oh, yeah.
And so a lot of the medications that they're taking can actually negatively impact their sleep. And so it may be that it makes it harder for them to fall asleep, or maybe they're on a diuretic. And so it means that they're having to use the restroom more frequently. Now, we also know that we can look at when somebody is taking those medications. So if there are some medications that have the side effects of making them feel tired and sleepy, then ideally we'd like them to work with their doctor to see if they could take those medications later at night or those that are going to make them feel alert. Can they take them earlier in the day? We do know that there are also medications that can be helpful, some prescription and some that are over the counter. Now, I'm not talking about things like your NyQuils and those types of things. We actually want people to try to avoid using those types of medications to try to sleep.
Fall asleep, yeah.
Yes. But for instance, we know that melatonin is something that does tend to be lower and lower in individuals as they age. And so sometimes having to use certain supplements, we know that iron is another one that plays a role. So a lot of people.
Back up. So melatonin we have in our body already.
Correct.
And what does that do? What does melatonin do for you? I mean, I've heard of the term before, but I got to know about everything. So.
Sure. And I always give the caveat that I'm not a prescribing provider. I'm not giving anyone medical advice on dosage or things today. But from melatonin, what happens is as it starts to get dark, our body naturally starts to produce melatonin. So as the sun was setting about 4 to 6 hours before bed, our body would start to produce melatonin. And as melatonin was building up in the system, it would contribute to us feeling more tired and sleepy. And so what happens is that, for individuals as they age, if they're not outside as much, if they're not getting as much sunlight, they don't have the variation in daylight to nighttime. So they don't always have those triggers for the body to know when to produce the melatonin. And when we're on our technology and we're having all this artificial light constantly, then our body doesn't have that change to know when to produce it. So melatonin in general is going to be something that's going to contribute to helping us to feel tired and sleepy. There are concerns, though, in the fact that people are oftentimes taking too much. So they're taking really high doses. And when you take higher and higher doses, then the body's not going to start producing it as much on its own. So you don't want to overtake too much, just like we know too much of a good thing. Like, you don't want to take too much vitamin C, or that can have negative impacts. You also, for a lot of people, they're taking melatonin right before bedtime. And melatonin isn't designed to be a sedative. It's not designed to make you fall asleep. It actually helps with your circadian rhythm that we talked about earlier. So ideally, sleep medicine doctors usually say to take melatonin about 2 to 4 hours before bedtime. And you want to make sure that you're taking pure melatonin, because there are a lot of supplements out there.
Yeah, how do you find a good melatonin?
Well, and that's it. It's not FDA regulated. So the research I know we talked about the other day, it can range from -83 to +453% of the active ingredient based on recent research. So you want to be going to a pharmacy that you know that you can trust, that you can be talking to them about making sure that that's purely what you're getting, and that it doesn't have other things like serotonin and such added into it.
Because it's not a prescribed.
No.
But what if you ask your doctor?
So you can talk to your doctor, and your doctors can let you know what brands they recommend. They can also tell you how it could interact with other medications that you're currently taking. And that's why we want to look at other natural supplements. Individuals look at magnesium, iron. We know that something that tends to impact older adults is they tend to have more movements. We hear people talk about limb movement and restless leg and such. And so they have some of these twitches or involuntary movements. And many times lower iron can impact that. There's all these things that we know vitamin D is important. So we want to get our sunlight. So there's many times natural supplements that we can use, but we don't want to just start taking all of these things without having some support from our doctors to know that we're taking the right amount and that it doesn't negatively interact with some of the other medications that someone's taking.
Let's say somebody does have sleep issues. Will the PCP know this stuff, or do they have to go to a specialist?
So it depends on the doctor. I mean, most primary care doctors would know the general pieces of it, just like they would know the general for heart care, but then they might send you a cardiologist if you have something more extreme. Or they would, same type of thing, where you can talk to your primary care doctor first. We just want to be cautious, because a lot of times people will then just immediately start taking things like Ambien and these other medications. And ideally, we'd rather see folks, if they can, since the body is naturally designed to sleep, we'd try to not have to use the medications unless it's really necessary.
So I Googled some information this morning because I wanted to ask some good questions. So I found something that says 70-year-olds should be going to sleep between 7 and 8 o'clock. All right?
So that's part of what we started talking about earlier from the circadian rhythm standpoint, that as we get older, our bodies are going to get tired earlier. And so what's going to happen is, if they're going to bed between 7 or 8 o'clock, so say that you are still getting 7 hours of sleep. If you go to bed at 8 o'clock and you sleep for 7 hours, you're going to be waking up at 3 in the morning.
Yeah, I know. I don't know why that. I'm Googling online. It's that like, well, you should get up at 4 o'clock. I'm like, what? I don't think so.
Well, I mean, one, you want to be cautious in general about, there's lots of things online that are really helpful.
But
part of it is, I mean, we know that in general that our bodies are designed to typically sleep when it's darkest out, which usually can be between 1 and 3 or 2 and 4 in the morning. And so usually we've tried to help people to build a sleep schedule around the fact of being asleep at that time. But the older we get, our body is going to make us feel tired sooner. And so that's where we want to naturally follow that flow of when our body is feeling tired, so that we can initiate sleep more easily, so we're not laying in bed tossing and turning, and have more of that sleep inertia to sleep through the night. But then we want to resist the urge when we wake up at 4 in the morning after we've slept 7 or 8 hours to just stay in bed. We want to get out of bed. It doesn't mean we can't relax on the couch or something else, but we don't want to just lay in bed longer because it's early.
That's why my wife never wanted a TV in our bedroom.
And you shouldn't have it.
Good idea.
Bedroom.
Yeah, you should. But I mean, if you're going to sleep at 7, 8 o'clock at night, you don't have Netflix or Amazon Prime. Because we watch a movie about 3 nights a week, 4 nights a week. every night. We love watching movies, you know.
And it's great to watch movies, but ideally you wouldn't be doing that in your bed.
No, we don't do it in bed.
Okay, because you want your bed to be reserved for sleep and romantic activity, and that's it.
That's right. Well, we got a cat last year, the one we almost lost. He likes to sleep on our bed sometimes. I always kick him off because I'm bigger than him. I'll squish him, you know. So I had one other question I wanted to ask you before we end here. God, what was that?
No worries.
See?
And I can give you some other sleep tips if you'd like.
Yeah, okay. Go ahead with sleep tips until I find out what question it was.
So we do want to be cautious with the bedroom distractions and the electronics. We know that we want to keep them in night mode, so a black background with white lettering. And when we are waking up in the middle of the night, we know, especially for our older adults, we want them to have a nightlight or something to be safe, but we don't want to turn on all of the lights. We know that exercise can be a really great thing to help people to build up more sleepiness, and exercise can look different for different people. You don't have to be hiking up the mountain or training for a marathon, but being physically active through the day will build up that. We talked about the fact that we want to be cautious with our substances. So, for instance, caffeine and that cup of coffee later at night, while you have phenomenal coffee, it can take up to 8 hours for your body.
8 hours. My wife, she can't drink coffee after like 12 because she'll be up 24 mm-hmm. hours. But what about like a glass of wine every night?
So we'll say it this way. So it's not that somebody can't have a glass of wine with dinner or at the end of the evening, but we know that alcohol is another thing. It's a REM suppressant. It reduces your ability to get the REM sleep, and it will impact the chemicals in your body. So for a lot of people, it may help them to fall asleep, but 3 or 4 hours later, they're going to wake up and feel awake and alert because of what it does with the chemicals in the system. So sedation is not sleep. Just because you're unconscious because you had a few drinks and you feel like you're asleep doesn't mean you're getting restorative sleep. So you can have a drink if you're healthy and your doctor says it's fine, but you don't want to be using alcohol as the thing to help you get to sleep. Because
a lot of people do. I do once in a while. If I can't really sleep, I'll get a shot of whiskey.
But the thing is, then you tend to see that you have more fragmented sleep because you wake up more times.
I really don't. I'm out.
So we need to have a conversation about your tolerance. We can do that offline. But you just want to be cautious with that. And again, it's one drink versus having two, three, four. We want to look at the quantity, the frequency, and the impact because everybody's body processes things differently.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't drink like I was in my 20s anymore.
So we want to be cautious with the caffeine and the alcohol. We want to have a consistent bedtime routine. We want to watch our technology. We can use light to our advantage. We want to be careful and if we're using our exercise to build up our sleepiness. And we can have sleep safety, right? So we know for a lot of older adults, if they are by themselves, we want them to have a phone or something nearby if they need help. But turn it over or turn the notifications off.
Yeah, I know.
Because all those alerts go off, and that can actually wake you up throughout the night.
Oh, it does. What about this? So I get pretty good sleep because I'm busy all day long. Some days I'm brain dead by noon. So I get a good sleep. Mm-hmm. But I'm an idea guy. I'm a creative guy. Uh-huh. Like I have this magazine. So I get like, once in a while I have an idea like 1 o'clock or 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock and I'll get up and I type in my phone. Not good, huh?
So ideally we would want you to write that on a notepad. And there's actually a lot of
research. You see my handwriting?
But the thing is, there's a lot of research that actually shows that when you're sleeping, we see boosts in creativity. There's some really great work out there. We see a lot of musicians. So I could tell you stories about, for instance, Paul McCartney and, you know, songs coming to him, or Mendeleev and the periodic table, and some really amazing creative moments where you're sleeping, you wake up, you jot that down. But the point is that we don't want the light to then wake the brain up. So the reason that we have you write it on the notepad is that you're writing it down. It's there when you wake up in the morning.
Yeah, but you can't write it down. It's dark in your bedroom.
But having a small side lamp is different than the light from your phone.
I'll put the light on my phone low then.
We can compromise with night mode on the phone.
No, but it's interesting because, I get a lot of ideas at night. Mm-hmm. You know?
And that's a very common factor we see from creativity and learning.
I ain't that creative, just ideas. That's why I have my phone got 50 comments every day. It's just ideas, comments, things I want to do or things I can't do or things I should be doing. Or like I said, I make a note, I got to buy mild sauce for you and my wife's cousin we're having dinner with, Mikey Heat, tonight. Okay.
You could also use the notes feature where you can voice to text to your phone.
They used to have it on, it's Google Calendar. They used to have that.
But you can, for instance, there's a notes feature on there that comes with most phones where you can, or even a recording where you can click the button and do an audio recording. So you're not having to look at the screen, but you're not having to write it down.
You need a light for that. My room's dark. Like I keep it dark, like you said.
Good, which you should.
Now, last tip. One good tip for seniors. I mean, I know many, but you're the expert. Okay, I'll give you two. Okay, three.
So I think the thing is that it's really going to be important to stick with a consistent schedule. And I know that I've been saying that over and over. But what happens is we get to a point in our lives where we don't have the schedule that we have to stick to. So it's, well, I'll sleep when I want. And so what happens is the body really does get confused as to when it should be tired and when it should get sleep. And so what's important is when we're sleeping at the same time every night, then our body is going to be able to know what it has to work with. So we talk about from a financial standpoint, if you know how much money you have to work with, you know where to invest to get the most yield. When your body knows, okay, he's going to let me sleep from 9 o'clock at night until 4 in the morning, now your brain and your body knows, okay, this is how much sleep I have to work with, and I can spend this much time repairing the body and this much time repairing the mind.
Okay, 1 minute.
Yeah.
I just remember what I want to ask you.
Okay.
Somebody at the Wednesday workshop said, because seniors travel a lot, how do you adjust to travel? I'm going to Japan next Tuesday. How do you adjust your sleep pattern for that? We got 1 minute.
The short version.
Yeah.
So in general, if you're going to go somewhere and you're going to be getting there early in the day, you want to do your best to sleep on the plane. And when you get there, you want to stay up throughout the day and not go to bed till the next night. If you're going to use the nap strategically earlier in the day, if you're going to get somewhere later in the day, you want to try to make sure that you're going to be able to fall asleep that night. So you don't want to sleep on the plane. You can use more exercise to work that up, but use light to your advantage. So when you land there in the morning, don't put your sunglasses on. Purposely get more light. When you're landing somewhere and you need to go to bed earlier, like for instance going to the mainland, put your sunglasses on when you get there at 7 or 8 at night to use light to have that balance for you. And you want to actually try to avoid caffeine, sugar, and alcohol on those days so your body can reset. And make sure you set your watch to the new time zone so that you start to get in that pattern and eat when you would be eating in the new time zone. So that triggers your circadian rhythm, so then you become tired at the appropriate time.
Melissa Milanek, your website again?
MindImpactConsulting.com.
Check her out, guys. And she does coaching all over the world. So if you need some help with that, but check out her Wednesday.
Wellbeing Wednesdays.
Wellbeing Wednesdays, guys. Thank you so much. Good to see you.
Thank you. It's been wonderful to be here, and I'm excited to be helpful. Yeah. Yeah.
So everybody have a great weekend. As always, aloha and live well.
Call Financial Benefits Insurance's local Hawaii agents for your Medicare needs. Navigating Medicare is a difficult task.
There are a lot of variables. You can't make a decision without knowing your medical and financial needs. Plus, working with a local Hawaii representative, you'll know what Hawaii programs are available for you.
It is free to talk with us and use a local Hawaii agent. Financial Benefits Insurance. Medicare is our business. Service sets us apart.
Percy Ihara. Many of you know him as the publisher of Generations Magazine and one of Hawaii's biggest senior advocates. For those of you that don't know, he's been in the mortgage business since 1988 and at the age of 42 got into the reverse mortgage business. He learned early on as a reverse mortgage professional that he needed to understand his clients' needs as they aged. He is now 63 years of age, and if you're like him, he is planning his own life down the road when he will retire and how will his quality of life be. He is planning his finances, and as a professional that is also aging, he is planning for his own long-term care needs and to age in place. As a trained, certified senior advisor and as a specialist in long-term care planning, he specializes in assisting seniors and their families to age in place for the rest of their lives. If you would like to begin the conversation, give him a call and let's sit down and start planning. He's Percy Ihara. Call him at 808-234-3117. NMLS 582-944.